your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Astronomy advisor, David Britton, is that correct?
Retired all sorts of things.
Such as life, eh?
Educator. I mean, I'm still involved very much in astronomy, and I do things for Stardome, including this.
Right on.
My official title for the Inland Revenue Services retired.
very nice. Well, thank you for giving us your time, as per. I should say I'm joined in studio by old mate Leonard here. He used to do news for us from time to time, and he's back in town. Just so you know, if someone else is talking and it's not me, it's probably Leonard, unless I've answered
the ghost of Johnny.
Hello, no. Mr. Britton. Nah, just a shadow of Johnny.
What's going on, mate? What's happening in the old the big old blanket with holes punched in it?
Well, imagine if you had a 520 megapixel camera.
Is that good or bad? Is it like an Alcatel from the warehouse in 92? Or?
Well, I mean, phones have, you know, like maybe 20 megapixels.
Okay, cool.
So 520.
That's hard for me to imagine.
This is a camera which is on a telescope in Chile. The telescope itself,
I feel like it could
has
see
a mirror that's 4 meters in diameter.
Can it see into people's souls, or how does it work?
No, if it did that, it'd be too bright, in fact. No, it's actually looking for dark energy, but as a sort of side effect of all the information, the data that this camera detects on this big telescope, quite apart from the main project, which is a different thing, it's discovered 139 objects called minor planets beyond Neptune.
Wow.
What they've done is they've looked through the first 4 years of data from 2013 to 2017, and they found about 7 billion dots, you know, objects in all that data. They whittled that down to 22 million that they weren't quite sure what they were. So they ruled out all the galaxies and stars and stuff. They knew exactly what those were. That left 22 million. And that was culled down to 400 candidates for objects that might be at the outer edges of our solar system.
Okay.
Okay, so from 7 billion to down to
what's the criteria? What's the criteria? Are we still on the life buzz? Must be life. We're looking for life. Is that sort of the criteria?
Yeah. Well, anyway, they vetted all those, and they found that 316 of that 400 are objects that are out beyond Neptune. And of those, 139 of those were new to science. They'd never been detected before.
Are all the other telescopes getting a little bit jealous of this telescope?
there are pretty powerful telescopes out there, but they've sort of got different projects and different things that they're looking for.
Right.
With any of them, I mean, the data is usually eventually at least made public, and other researchers can use it to find things other than what the people who built it did it for. And this is a similar sort of situation. But those 139 objects, they're called trans-Neptunian objects, because they're beyond the orbititude of Neptune. So about 30 to 90 times further away from the Sun than we are. To put that in perspective, Pluto is at about 40.
Oh, I totally get it now.
Okay, so these are sort of a bit closer than Pluto and about double the distance of Pluto. What it can mean, though, is when they look at the next 2 years, given the entire six-year data set, they reckon they might have enough information that could lead them to Planet Nine. In the past, I've mentioned that astronomers think that there is another planet beyond Pluto, and one of the indicators of it is that these objects out there, there's about 3,000 altogether that they know about. Okay. So this has added about another 5%. That they don't all go exactly where they should. They seem to be disturbed by something.
Wow.
Whoa. And that's what they think is Planet 9. So get enough of these objects.
Like the gravity of Planet
9? They should be able to find where this Planet 9 might be, okay. Or if it's not there at all.
David, is there a planet, a name for Planet 9, or would it be called Planet 9?
It's the, you spell out the letter 9.
At the moment, it's called Planet 9. That's okay. Like an informal name because it doesn't exist as such. There's no observational evidence for it. If it is discovered, it'll probably get some name given to it by the discoverers. But eventually, the International Astronomical Union, the IAU, they decide on the final scientific name.
Hey, just while we're talking about names, there's been a new name chosen for the 2020 Mars rover. How does this go?
Segue.
Thank you very much, mate. If I do get paid.
Yes. NASA's sending another rover to Mars in a few months' time. And what they do with their Mars rovers, for each of them, going back to Sojourner in 1997, I think it was, Spirit, Opportunity, and of course the current one, Curiosity. They have a competition amongst school children in the United States to find a name.
This is risky. Boatface kind of thing?
Well, they have to submit essays, so 28,000 were submitted.
How old are these kids, though?
Up to K-12, so year 12 students and younger.
Okay.
I think it might be year four.
Do you have a list of kind of the three sort of finalists, or do we just know the final one?
There were nine finalists, three from each of three grade levels, K-9, 5 to 8, and 9 to 12. And the winner was in the middle age group. So there's actually a year 7.
Do they get paid?
He's got Alexander Mather from Virginia.
Okay.
People came up with endurance, tenacity, promise, vision, clarity, ingenuity, fortitude, and courage. The one that was chosen was perseverance.
Ooh.
So the new rover is going to be called Perseverance.
What's your thoughts
on that,
David?
That'll be going to a crater called Jezero Crater in Mars. It's 45 kilometres across.
Will it have Perseverance written across the actual rover, like Perseverance, in some kind of cool, gnarly font?
Can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay.
That's something that listeners could Google. I imagine it'd be there somewhere.
Right on.
What it's going to do is actually go this time, the first time since the Viking landers in the mid-70s and 80s, it's actually going to look for signs of life.
Yeehaw.
But won't be able to bring it back. It lands there just like Curiosity. It'll rove around, take a whole lot of samples, and analyze them on site and send information back. But it'll also collect a few dozen samples that it will collect and keep on board. And the idea is they'll be kept on board so that in future a craft or even astronauts could go there,
Elon,
and return them to Earth.
Okay, so it kind of turns itself into its own little sort of seed depository type of thing and keeps it all...
Yeah, exactly, because a sample return mission, there is none at the moment.
Right.
It's a very difficult thing to do. So the idea is get these samples, analyze a whole bunch of them, and then set aside a few of them, about a dozen or more, and keep them on board to be returned at a later date. Yeah, I can talk about the Perseverance itself a little bit later,
closer
to launch, because it's also going to carry a helicopter, believe it or not.
Oh, man, this is sounding quite expensive, actually.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Take us to the night sky, please. David, what's going on above?
Well, firstly, the daytime sky on Friday is the equinox. It's when the day and the night are the same length.
Hey.
So the sun will rise exactly due east, and it'll set exactly due west. After that, it'll be rising and setting a bit further north each day, so the night time's getting longer and longer, and the daytime is shorter as we move in towards winter.
What does it mean?
Equinox just means equal day, equal night. Yeah,
cool, perfect. There you go.
Very quite simple. So after sunset, have a look. Venus is near the horizon. It'll be there for quite a while. Very, very bright. In the telescope, you'll see that it's only half of it you can see because it goes through phases like the moon. In the morning, there are a whole bunch of planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, pretty high, easy to see, and Mercury much lower down, closer to the horizon. Again, all good with telescopes. Mercury is a bit harder to see naked eye. It's a lot fainter. But Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars are nice and high in the sky and pretty easy to see. So, you know, people can get out and enjoy the night sky. I know it was very cloudy last night, but it looks like it might be a bit clearer tonight. And with earlier sunset, makes it easier. And, of course, at the beginning of April, we'll lose daylight saving as well, so it'll get darker an hour earlier.
Okie dokie.
Lovely.
All right, mate.
Anyway, good to talk to you, and see what we have next time.
Well, it's actually quite a good time to sort of maybe invest in a telescope and sort of stay at home and just have a look up.
Well, yeah, binoculars are great as well, you know.
For real? Okay.
Oh, yes, even the 50s, you can hold them in your hands and, you know, steady yourself, maybe put your elbows on the roof of a car, that sort of thing.
Oh, right.
And anything more powerful than that, you need a tripod because the shake would be too much.
Okay.
I'm also thinking planet9.com, I might quickly snap that domain name up because that could be the future.
You never know, buddy.
You might be onto a winner there.
Right, the thing is, it's kind of like, isn't it sort of like, of course there's another planet if you keep going. Doesn't space just kind of keep going kind of thing?
Sorry. That's a big question. Goodness.
It depends on what they discover.
Right.
The thing is, it's probably, from what they think, it's not going to be as small like Pluto. It's probably going to be more of a Neptune size.
Okay.
So in this case,
which is a big gravity pool, that's why they think they're seeing things affected by it.
Yeah. Right. And it's just so far away, though.
Couldn't it be a black hole?
It has a very elliptical orbit.
Right.
So being that size, though, it probably has cleared out the other stuff in its own orbit, which is why it's disturbing the other Kuiper Belt objects.
Right.
So probably, if it is discovered, probably will be called a planet, and there won't be the same argument as there's been over Pluto.
Pluto, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
But speculation still at this stage.
Ah, we love that. We love that. Hey, David, we will catch you in a couple of weeks, mate. It's always a pleasure.
Look forward to it.
Cheers, David.
Bye.
Ta.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.